I acknowledge that the land on which I live and work is the territory of the Podunk and Wangook peoples, who have stewarded the land and waterways through generations. I also acknowledge the history of genocide and forced removal from this territory, and pledge to use my resources and skills to promote knowledge of Indigenous peoples and to work towards justice. I'm Jen Glabius, and this is the Haulanaki Deep Dive, a podcast about the process of mapping and analysis for historical and archaeological research using open source tools. In this episode, I'm going to start what will be an ongoing discussion about how the Shackelfords interacted with Indigenous peoples during their journey and those interactions, as well as trying to put the fact of the Shackelfords' journey into context regarding Indigenous peoples. This will be a multi-part conversation that I'll return to sporadically as I read and learn more. After that, I'll talk a little bit about how I'm thinking about acknowledging Indigenous territories in the map I make for this project, which, of course, is also a work in progress. Let's dive in. So this is not an easy topic for me to get into. I am a white person who lives in the United States of America, and I've hesitated on how exactly to broach this because it's difficult. I'm recording this on the day we used to honor the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and with the events of the insurrection at the United States Capitol on January 6th, not long ago. And it's important that we confront white supremacy because the reason for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the insurrection at the Capitol and the removal of and genocide of Indigenous peoples from their lands is all due to white supremacy. And it's something we must confront. And as a person of white heritage, this is difficult. I grew up steeped in white supremacy and very negative depictions of Indigenous peoples and Black peoples. And this went from like TV shows and different movies. I've seen so many different Westerns. I grew up with all the Westerns, as well as so-called jokes by people I grew up around about the plight of Indigenous peoples on their reservations that were not funny at the time, and I didn't confront them. But if I ever hear something like that again, I shall. But it's a process. And so this is part of what I'm trying to do is break myself of this. And part of that is confronting what is difficult and confronting the role that my ancestors have had on the plight of Indigenous and Black peoples as well. So I recognize that I'm going to get a lot of things wrong. I'm still towards the beginning of this journey of learning and trying to do my part to bring justice. And so things are going to change. I'm going to get things wrong. But it's important that I make a start and that I try. And so I've always intended with this project to bring context to the Shackelford's journey. And a very large part of that is how the Indigenous peoples were treated. One of the things that influenced me as I was beginning this project was reading the book Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder by Carolyn Fraser, which a friend had recommended a few years ago. And Prairie Fire gives context to the life and the books of Laura Ingalls Wilder, someone who I read her books over and over again when I was a child. And Prairie Fire was amazing. It gave the author provided context into her family and the events that happened throughout the books, which are partly autobiographical, and then the context in which she wrote the books. Now, it's not a direct one-to-one thing that I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to copy Prairie Fire per se, but because I'm talking about a journey, it's something that also needs context. And what I know in part at this point is that the only reason that the Shackelfords were able to make their journey through the territories of so many Indigenous peoples was because they were backed up by the United States government. And this was in 1865, I think around 1848 or so, is when the large-scale movement of white colonists began across the middle part of the United States. But white colonists had been pushing Indigenous peoples off of their land since they first came in the 1500s. So I'm doing some reading on this topic, on the topic of Indigenous peoples. The book I'm working through right now is An Indigenous People's History of the United States, and I'll put a link to the book in the show notes. And this book, I haven't made it to the time period with the Shackelfords in the 1800s yet, but the author has done such a great job really looking at the root causes of colonization and the pushing of Indigenous peoples off of their land. So that's going to be a great resource for me going forward, I can tell. And then there's a couple, actually three other things that are not directly related to Indigenous peoples, but rather to Black people. Number one is the 1619 Project, developed by Nicole Hannah Jones. And so another book that I have begun but have not yet finished is the book Stamped from the Beginning by Ibram Kendi, where he goes through the development of the United States as a country, and that white supremacy itself has been part of the character of the United States. I'll put a link to Stamped from the Beginning to this book in the show notes as well. And then the final book that I've begun, but I'm still in the beginning parts, is Cast by Isabel Wilkerson, who's the author of The Warmth of Other Suns, which is about the great migration of Black people from the South into the North. And all three of these, although the 1619 Project, Stamped from the Beginning, and Cast, although they're about Black people and not Indigenous peoples, their plights have been the same or similar so much through time that it's worthwhile reading about both subjects. So those are some of the books and resources I'm going to reference that I'm working through right now. If you have any suggestions, dear listener, please send them to me. Email me at deepdive@halanaki.com or message me. I would love to hear what other resources I should look into as I'm on this journey learning more. As you might remember, in the last episode, I had played the game Oregon Trail, which does portray Indigenous people characters sympathetically. When you talk to different characters, some of them include Indigenous peoples, and they're very sad about what's happened to their land, but they aren't given any agency. And the game itself makes it seem that, like, of course, it doesn't question the rights of players in the guise of these colonists to Oregon. It doesn't question their rights to actually go, or what they did to the land, or that they were able to travel. But around the time I posted the last episode, a friend had posted a link to a game called When Rivers Were Trails, which centers a journey by Indigenous peoples. I'll also put a link to this game in the show notes. It's incredible. It's free to download, and it gives you the story. You're an Indigenous person starting out in what is Wisconsin, And in like the 1880s, I think 1889, and your reservation, your land is being given away to white settlers, basically through the white colonists, through the process of allotment. So taking the land that was held for all the peoples and instead making it so that white colonists could take it. It is also a hard game. It's very informative. There were so many interesting facts to learn as I played through it. There's hunting, but also fishing, both of which I found difficult because, again, I'm not great at video games. And there's also canoeing, and canoeing was my downfall towards the end. But it's an incredible game. It's beautiful and well-written, and the music is haunting. So I encourage you to, especially if you went out and played the Oregon Trail after my last episode, or you've played it all, go check out When Rivers Were Trails and see a game that's centered on Indigenous peoples, because it's important that we center Indigenous peoples and don't push them to the side and say, oh my goodness, it's just so horrible that their land was taken from them, and not do anything about it. Look at that game. It's really great. I had promised to talk a little about the Shackelfords and their Indigenous encounters. And Ruth Shackelford, in her diaries, for the most part, when she refers to Indigenous peoples, she calls them Indians. There's no distinction, very little distinction, between the different Indigenous peoples. I think the only time on her journey to California, they come to this house that has Indigenous peoples in it, and they say that she records that they said that they were Sioux. Does not actually spell the name anywhere close, just does it phonetically. In her diary from 1868, when they're traveling back to Missouri from California, they go through the Southwest, they go through Texas. And in that, she does mention the Apache, because they go through the territories and they have to be very careful because there had been uprisings and things like that. So she mentions the Apache by name. But other than that, it's a callousness of sorts just to not search out their name and just call them a bland Indian, as if they were not very different peoples. That's the attitude of the times, but it doesn't make that right. She has a lot of fear at times. This is one thing I'm going to explore. From after the point where they leave Fort Kearney in Nebraska, through their times in the mountains of Wyoming, there were Indigenous peoples' uprisings going on. And so she has entries that talk about fears of different raids that had taken place, and there were things going on around them but didn't touch their wagon train itself. And those things deserve to be put into context. Their fears and why Indigenous peoples were having their uprising, and I intend to do that. So how do I actually intend to incorporate and acknowledge the Indigenous peoples and the territories that the Shackelfords went through? Well, there's this great website, nativelands.ca, and I'll put a link to that as well in the show notes. And this webpage is a map, and it provides the territories as reported by Indigenous peoples around the world, so self-reporting. As you can imagine, this is a super complex topic, and because white colonists and the United States government pushed peoples from place to place. I was doing some reading about the Podunk and the Wangook peoples as I was working on the acknowledgement that I wrote at the top of this episode, and really there's no presence of those peoples in Connecticut today because they were pushed off and they went into what became New York and then just scattered as they were pushed further and further as white colonists took over their lands. So, back to the story, it's very complicated to figure out territories in some ways because different peoples, indigenous peoples, moved through time. We know this from archaeological studies of their histories, and of course also from the oral histories of indigenous peoples. But one way to figure out is by looking at nativelands.ca, and you can put in your address, and it'll tell you which indigenous peoples had their territory in the place where you're looking up, which is, it's a start. And there are also, you can click on links and look for more information, which for some, like the Podunk and the Wangook, they didn't have tribal pages. And so a lot of the history that I found was written by white settlers after the fact, or when they were in the process of colonizing this part of Connecticut. And so it's not from Indigenous perspective. But that's something we have to bring into this through time. If we can, Indigenous perspectives, but at least acknowledging and centering a portion of what we look at on Indigenous peoples. So my thoughts for doing the mapping, the nativelands.ca website has an API and a way to actually download the data, which they update sporadically. And so I was able to download the data a few months ago and open it up in QGIS, my favorite mapping software. And with that, I can go through and as there are stops, I can pull out which territories the Shackelfords were stopping at and include that information on the map, on maps as I make things. So include that as a layer. I still don't know if I should do that for every single map or a subset. So when mapping and doing cartography, you don't want things to be too cluttered, which would be a point in only doing it on a subset. But I also don't want it to be ignored that the Shackelfords were traveling through Indigenous territories. And that makes me think I should put it on every single map, because it's important. This is something I'll have to work through time, and we shall see. And of course, if any of you have suggestions, I would love to hear it. But I think this is going to be something I'm going to have to work through as I get to the mapping. So after I have locations mapped out from the diaries, then I can go through and figure out how I'm going to display. What I think I need to do from this point going forward is acknowledge the territories that the Shackelfords are going through in the entries that I read. I intend to look at specific places in their journey as I go, but I need to be more deliberate about not just saying which state, so which artificial boundary of the United States, but also acknowledge the Indigenous territories that they were passing through at that point in time. And that's what I intend to do. So to end, Ruth Shackelford and her family started in 1865 in Clark County, Missouri, in the territory of the Ocheté Sakowin, the Osage Nation, the Meskwaki Nation, the Peoria, and the Kickapoo Tribe. On their journey, the Shackelfords passed through the territories of numerous other peoples. I will record what I can of those peoples as part of the Shackelford's journey. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the Halanaki Deep Dive, please subscribe or leave a review and tell a friend about it. To support the Halanaki Deep Dive financially, you can become a supporter on Patreon for as little as $1 per month. And at the $5 per month level or higher, you'll get access to exclusive behind-the-scenes content every month. The Halanaki Deep Dive is written and produced by me, Jen Glabius of the Halanaki. The theme music is Deep Ocean Instrumental by Dan O of danosongs.com. Thanks for listening.